Welcome to 2019, y'all. Who's excited for a new year? Who likes New Year's? Yeah? Who here at the start of every year, you're like, this is great, it's a clean slate, I can kick off, I've got goals, I've got plans, I've got things that I'm going to do. Do we have people that are like that? One person, my grandma. Fantastic. I'm so encouraged. My grandma and my little cousin, Harriet, are here. Thanks so much for coming and joining us here this Sunday morning, the first Sunday of 2019. Now, some people are like that, aren't they? Some people, it gets to the start of a new year. I like that. Let's chuck the house lights up a bit more. Gets to the start of a new year and it's just like, yes, all this fresh stuff that I'm going to do, and you plan and you prepare and you get this and you get that and you think this and you think that and you get everything sorted, and then it gets to February and you're like, what happened to my plans? It's just like, haven't even started on the gardening work, let alone the housework and the work and the other things that I needed to work as well. But I want to encourage you at the start of 2019, and I want to do a quick shout out to our Dillon Valley campus that are tuning in. It's great that you're here with us today. We're one church, two locations, and we're praying for you guys, and we believe in you guys, and we look forward to hanging out with you up in the Derwent Valley for the Family Fun Day on Saturday the 19th. But you have all these works planned, and it says in Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And these works aren't just the works of our hands. They're not just the works of going to work. They're not just the works of I've got to do some work in my garden. They're not just the works of there is housework. It's not just the work of my car needs some work, and actually does need some work at the moment. I cleaned up a kangaroo on the way back from Simon and Jane Edler's daughter's wedding and did some serious damage to it. So I'm currently driving around Pete's work ute, which he calls affectionately the Red Rocket. It's a beast. Thank you for that. How cool is that? Like, just a side note, being part of the body of Christ, if I wouldn't know Peter from a bar of soap otherwise, and then he hears that I have a car, I don't have a car, and he's just like, oh, I've got a spare ute, just borrow this. You know, that is what the kingdom of God's all about, and that's why it's important not to try to be doing your Christianity in isolationist, a lone ranger. That's not God's heart or His intention, but it's in community. Through community, then we can love one another. We can, and the world can see that He is God through our love for one another. So the work that I'm talking about, or the work that the Apostle Paul was talking about here in this passage, the good works that He's prepared for us in advance to do, are not just temporary tasks, but they're things with eternal purpose. They're things that actually see the kingdom of God advance in our lives and through our lives. It's the works of preaching the gospel. It's the works of laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover. It's the works of sowing in and seeing kingdom advancement through sowing into missions organizations. It's those sort of works that Paul was implying when he was in this passage. Works being led by the Holy Spirit, not just being led by what's next on your calendar or agenda to do this year. You see, a friend of mine up in the Derwent Valley, the minister of the Salvation Army up there. Ooh, that just got nice and echoey all of a sudden. I like it. Do you like the way I echo? I think I dropped out of the fallback wedges, but that's okay. That's okay. But my friend up in the Derwent Valley, Mr. Tim Sires, I caught up with him for coffee in December, and he was telling me this story that he then used at the Christmas carols up in the Derwent Valley about this person who needed to do some work on their garden. And it was up in the Derwent Valley, and it wasn't my house. So actually, I needed to do some work on my garden. For those who know me, I'm not a gardener. It's just not my... Thanks, Peter. I appreciate that affirmation. It's just not something I'm passionate about. And my former house up in the Derwent Valley had a ridiculously big backyard, and I was always out doing the work of the ministry rather than the work of my backyard. So because of that, all of a sudden, it became a piece of work because it grew to about, I don't know, 6 foot high, because that's what happens when you have high rainfall and lots of sunshine, things grow. But Tim Sires was telling me about another garden in the Derwent Valley, who knows, it might have been mine. Similar, the backyard had become just an incredible piece of work and needed a lot of work done to it. And someone recommended the owner of this property, hey, have you tried using a chainsaw? So he's like, oh, no, I haven't. Where can I get one? And up in the Derwent Valley in Circle Street, there's a little chainsaw shop. So he went up there and bought a chainsaw and he was out there trying to get through it. And about a week later, the same guy rocked up to the place, the person's house, and the backyard was still just like a complete shambles. And he's just like, did you not listen to what I said and get yourself a chainsaw to try to deal with it? And he's like, yeah, I've got this chainsaw, but it's just so much hard work. It's so heavy, and every time I try to swing it through the bushes, it doesn't really cut. I don't know what's wrong with it. And he just grabs it, and jumps back. Oh, my gosh! And all of a sudden, it's fired up, and the saw is spinning. He'd been trying to cut his backyard with a chainsaw without using the power. And I honestly think sometimes, it's Derwent Valley, sometimes, so I'm from the Derwent Valley, that's what I'm saying. That's something I would do, that's what I'm saying. It's just like, anything's possible. But I think it was actually a metaphor. I don't think it actually happened. But the metaphor behind that is, it's actually easier to do those works when we're using the power of the Holy Spirit and allowing His power to actually work through us. And it's the same with the works that God was talking about in this passage of Scripture. We can either try to do it in our own strength, like a chainsaw through a backyard without using the power, or we can choose to be abiding in Him and being led by Him. And through that divine partnership and relationship, it's not hard work. It's just us abiding and seeing the fruit of our relationship, which is just effective work and effective kingdom advancement. So today, at both our campuses, we actually want to anoint every single person that is here. We want to anoint every single person here. Katie, she's actually prepared some, she's like got this oil business and beautician business stuff, and she's got some frankincense and some sandalwood and some other things and infused it into oil to actually make it some anointing oil. And we want to anoint each and every single person here for the works that God has prepared for each and every single one of us in 2019. Because we don't want you to go through 2019 doing it in your own strength and be like that guy in the backyard swinging a chainsaw with no power. But our heart here at Energizer Church is that every single person would be operating out of a place of intimate connection with the Holy Spirit, and out of that place of anointing, see greater impact and more effectiveness than ever before. Who wants that? Who wants that? Fantastic. Who wants to be smacking their head against a wall because you're trying to do it in your own strength? Fantastic. I'm glad I'm talking to a room full of sane people that don't want to just do the same old thing expecting different results. Let's rely. Let's lean on the Holy Spirit this year. Actually, if you want a good New Year's resolution, here's a good passage of Scripture to just make your New Year's resolution. Proverbs 3:5-6 in the Amplified Bible says this: trust in and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart. Do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all ways, know and acknowledge and recognize Him, and He will make your path straight and smooth, removing all obstacles that block your way. I want to encourage you, if you haven't got yourself a New Year's resolution, I'm not in the habit of doing that, but if you're one of those people that like to have resolutions, just chuck this passage of Scripture up every blank space in your house, fridge, wall, give your children some permanent markers, and get them to write it on the walls. But don't rely on your own strength, but acknowledge Him in all your ways and He will make your path straight. I honestly believe that what Simon was saying, open heavens, that is possible and that is God's heart. But it doesn't happen through us going in our own strength, Derwent Valley. It happens in us abiding in Him and relying on Him, relying on the leading of the Holy Spirit. So today, if you are a person that likes to put down titles whilst you take notes, then you can call this message whatever you want, because I don't actually have a title for it. You can call it 2019 Resolution Message by Dan Pastor, and in brackets, some scriptural reference. You can call it whatever you want. You can call it Turn on the Chainsaw. Actually, turn to the person next to you and tell them to turn on the chainsaw. Turn to the person on the other side and say, because that's what it sounds like when the chainsaw's going. Like, and seriously, there should be a sound emanating from your life when you are abiding in Christ and being led by the Holy Spirit. Like, seriously, it shouldn't be silent. There should be a noise coming from it. There should be something ticking over on the inside that's causing heat, causing action, causing friction. Now I want to talk about anointing. I want to talk about anointing. And last year, I shared a sermon all about anointing. And that is a word that if you've just randomly rocked up here today and you're sitting in this service and you've never sat in church before, the word anointing, you're like, what the heck even does that even mean? That's a really sort of religious, spiritual word in a certain way. But what would happen, and just a little bit of history, back thousands of years ago, shepherds would anoint their sheep. They would put oil over the heads of sheep and allow it to run all over the head of the sheep. So that way parasitic insects and stuff couldn't crawl into the ear and stuff. It was actually a form of protection. But then that same thing that shepherds would do for sheep, prophets would then do for kings. So anointing their head with oil was symbolic of them being completely covered by God's presence so that nothing could get in and actually kill or harm the king. And in another vein, it was also then a sign of this person being commissioned for the task that God had called them to. Not man, God had called them to. And as we shared out of this scripture in Ephesians, and this is why we want to anoint every single person here today, is because it does say that God has prepared good works in advance for us to do. So if He's prepared works for us to do, we can either do it, Derwent Valley, no power, or we can do it with the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives and moving through our lives and see greater impact and effect than we've ever seen before. So I'm going to read to you out of a big chunk of scripture. We're going to go Old Testament here. We're going to read out of the book of Exodus chapter 29. And I'm just going to draw out a bunch of thoughts through this, and in around 15 minutes we'll shift it up a gear. Ding, 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 ding. We'll get it up. We'll get the Holy Spirit oil out, and we're going to be praying and anointing some people in this place. But Exodus 29 in the New Living Translation, we find this part of the story where all the people of Israel are there and they're anointing Aaron and his descendants to be the priest and to be the priests of the nation of Israel, to intercede on the rest of the nation's behalf, to do sin offerings, to make people right with God. So it's this incredible, incredible moment in history where Aaron is getting commissioned to be a priest. And be encouraged. In the New Testament, we read that in Christ, we actually become a royal nation. We become a priesthood, a royal nation. And God has that same priest anointing to be able to intercede, to be able to reconcile people to God for each and every single one of his descendants in Christ. So here we find Aaron. And I'm just going to stop at different points and just pull points out along this. Because I believe that the process that we read in this passage is something that we can actually then parallel to us here today. Because in the book of Hebrews, we read in chapter 10 how the old covenant is then overshadowed by what Christ has done. And he is like the fulfillment of those old covenant practices. So here we have the old covenant practice, and we should be able to then identify and see ways that Christ has fulfilled those different elements. So are you ready to go on this journey? You ready to go to Exodus? It's like Jurassic Park. Anyway, there we go, someone's got it. This is the ceremony you must follow when you consecrate Aaron and his sons to serve me as priests. Actually, before we go any further, let's just pray. It's always good to pray before you delve right into the word. Lord, we just thank you so much for each and every single person that's here today, here in the Hobart campus and up in the Derwent Valley. And we just ask right now in the mighty name of Jesus that our hearts would be soft, that it wouldn't be hard soil, because we know that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all we could hope to imagine according to your power at work within us. So we ask that our hearts would be soft enough so that your power can actually work with the soil that's within us. That it wouldn't be so hard and so rigid that we wouldn't be able to be worked with by the hands of the Almighty. So Lord, we thank you so much for what you want to do here individually and what you want to do collectively, because your heart is for the kingdom. Your heart is for the church, the body of Christ. So we ask that you would do something mighty in this place on the first Sunday of 2019. And everybody said, amen, amen. This is the ceremony that you must follow when you consecrate Aaron and his sons to serve me as priests. I'm just going to stop there. That's the very first verse in that passage in chapter 29. Do you know there's still a process today? You don't just rock up and receive anointing. You don't just rock up and receive every spiritual blessing. There is still a process today. But this is the super encouraging thing. The process that the people of Israel had to undergo to receive, to be made holy, to be made clean from their sin, a lot of the time was an arduous one. It was one that required this, it required this dove, it required this goat, it required a shark. It didn't require a shark. It required all these animal sacrifices and all these different things. And it was a process that was a lot of the time arduous, where they had to go through someone else to get right with God. There's still a process today. And I say this right at the very start of my message, because I don't want you to get further into the message and go, oh yeah, I want anointing. I want to see God move powerfully in my life. But you haven't actually done the initial step required to receive that. And that initial step is a repented heart and declaring that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of your life. There is no other way to be made right with God but through faith in Christ Jesus. Faith in Christ Jesus. And if you are here today, maybe someone invited you along, maybe someone dragged you along, I want to encourage you, if you haven't done that step in the process, this, my friend, is the most important day of your life. The first Sunday of 2019, make that decision here, I implore you. It's the best decision you can ever make. Get right with God. He loves you so, so much. Now, it goes on. Take a young bull and two rams of no defects, then using choice wheat flour. Probably, what's that? Is it four roses? Probably four roses, I reckon. I reckon it was some four roses flour. Probably not. And no yeast, make loaves of bread, thin cakes mixed with olive oil, wafers to spread with oil. Place them all in a single basket and present them at the entrance of the tabernacle. So number one, there is still a process today. Number two, we need to bring an offering. And the offering that they had to bring in this moment was bread. They bought some biscuits. They bought some wafers. This sounds like a good Sunday afternoon down at Puddle Duck Vineyard, don't you agree, Grandma? Some bread, some cheese, some, yeah, this sounds good. Some new wine. Now, they had to bring an offering. They had to bring an offering. And in the same way, still today, we need to bring an offering, friends. Romans 12 says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and may your whole life, he talks about being an offering, serve it up as an offering on the altar. All of a sudden, we're not dishing up biscuits anymore. We're dishing up our bodies to be the offering to God. I want to encourage you, your heart, your mind, your wisdom, your words, your actions, every part of you, your thoughts, allow it to be an offering to God that's pleasing to Him as it's yielded to the plans and the purposes and the works that He has prepared in advance for you to do. There's a new offering. If someone say there's a new offering, and we are that new offering. Verse 4, present Aaron and his sons at the entrance of the tabernacle and wash them with water. Dress Aaron in his priestly garments, the tunic, the robe, the ephod itself, and the chest piece. Then wrap them in a decorative sash of the ephod around him. Place the turban on his head and fasten the sacred medallion to the turban. My third point is, we need to be in Christ and wearing priestly attire. So there was a process for them to receive this anointing. And for them, they had to put on the ephod that represented the presence of God, the tangible presence of God. They had to put on all these priestly attire. And I want to encourage each and every single one of us, the start of 2019, let's make sure we're putting on the attire that Christ has for us, an all-purpose garment called love. An all-purpose garment called love. Colossians 3, I think it's verse 16 or 17. He says, above all things, make sure you wear love. You know, if we choose to put that on, and I'm not talking about just love like the world, like I love avocados and tortellini. It's not the same love that I have. I think I shared it at some message somewhere. I can't remember what it was. I love my cat and I love avocados. But I cuddle one of them and I smash the other. You can work out which one I do which two. Take that, your cat. No, I wouldn't do that. I love my cat. And you know that. But I'm not talking about just the love that we have for things. But I'm talking about love that actually expresses itself in action. Love that actually yields its own way to actually think of others first. That is patient, that is kind, that is caring, that is courageous, that steps out, that rejoices with the truth. And when we wrap ourselves and actually put on this priestly garment, which is love, which is embodied in the way that Jesus outlived his life, then that is a perfect platform for the anointing of God to be poured out upon. Goes on to say this. I've skipped a few verses. Let's chuck them up on the screen. There we go, verse 7. Then anoint him by pouring the oil over his head. This is verse 7. I've accidentally deleted a couple of verses from my notes here on my iPad. But this passage here, we've just skipped a couple, but we've jumped to here. This passage just here. That oil represented the presence of God. The presence of God. The anointing, the fragrance. You know, when we live and God's presence is in our lives, it should actually permeate in our entire life. People should be able to hear something different. They should be able to taste and see and smell something different about the way we live because God's presence is upon it. And I want to encourage you, that is why we want to anoint people here this morning, because we don't want people to do it in our own strength, but we want to do it by His Spirit. It's not by strength. It's not by power, but by my Spirit, declares the Lord. And if we receive this anointing, we can stand like Jesus did, unrolling the scripture out of Isaiah, saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, and the blind will see, and that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time, the year of the Lord's favor has come." You know, when we operate out of that place, we can stand there as co-heirs with Christ and actually proclaim that promise for ourselves, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to do these good works. Now, you keep on going through. So that's the next part. The next point was that the oil represents the Holy Spirit. The next part, point five, is it says, "Next present his sons and dress them in tunics, wrap the sashes around their waists of Aaron and his sons, and put their special head coverings on them." Verse 10, "Bring the young bull to the entrance of the tabernacle where Aaron and his sons will lay their hands on its head, and then slaughter the bull." I'm going to, just for the sake of time, not read all the bloody, gory stuff that is in about the next 15 verses. if you roll that way and you love blood and gore, then it's in there. It's in the Bible. You can have a bit of a read through that later and enjoy that some weird way. Pray for you in Jesus' name. But they slaughter it. It says they took the fat around the internal organs, the long lobe of the liver, two kidneys, fat, blood going everywhere. But what I want to say through this is this anointing is bought with blood. This anointing is bought with blood. And in the same way, for us to be vessels of the Holy Spirit, it's not our own works that have actually made the way for that to be received. We have played our part, because faith without deeds is dead. That's why we need to offer ourselves as living sacrifices. That's why we become the offering. But the actual cost to receive it isn't our ability to be good enough. It's us trusting that the blood of Christ is enough. By His blood, this anointing has been bought. I was reflecting this morning as I was preparing that he poured out His blood for us so that we could find life in His blood for us. We find life in what Jesus has done. Now, skipping down a whole chunk, going to verse 29 here. It says, "Aaron's sacred garments must be preserved for his descendants who succeed him, and they will wear them when they are anointed and ordained." I want to encourage you that God's heart is legacy. He wants you to be anointed, to be a vessel of the Holy Spirit, to see the good works that He has prepared for you actually come to fruition, not just a conceptual idea out here. But the beautiful thing is, He wants our children to experience that same blessing. That's you, Mr. Jasper Grubb. He wants you. Yeah, I know. It's crazy. Crazy talk. Yeah. Look out over there, too. You know, it's Harriet. You know, God wants to move powerfully through your life, not just grandma's life. Children up the back, God wants to work powerfully through all your lives. Children in the Derwent Valley, God has an anointing for each and every single one of you. God is about legacy. And He wants each and every generation that follows to be able to experience the blessing and the goodness that is ours in Christ, that we can find in Him. So this is how you will ordain Aaron and his sons, verse 35, to their office. "Just as I have commanded you, the ordination ceremony will go for 7 days. Each day you must sacrifice a young bull as a sin offering to purify them, making them right with the Lord. Actually, just a little note there. Maybe that's why it's so important when Jesus taught about the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us today our sins. You know, the process is, it says that they had to kill a bull daily for that, receiving the forgiveness of sins. And that's why it's so important. Keep a short account with God. When you stuff up, just go to him and just say, because he's not angry at you. He loves you. He's not mad with you. He's madly in love with you. It says, verse 37, and this is where I'm going to finish. We're going to start anointing people. Verse 37, purify the altar and consecrate it every day for 7 days. After that, the altar will be absolutely, everyone say this word with me, holy. Everyone say this word with me, holy. Everyone say this word with me, Don Valley, holy. There we go. And whatever touches it will become holy. Does anyone remember that band Noiseworks? Yeah. Reach out and touch somebody. I just hear that in this one. Because everything that touches it will become holy. Reach out and touch somebody. The incredible thing is, in the old covenant, if you touched something that was unclean, all of a sudden you became unclean. You became unworthy. You were separated from God because you touched something that was unholy. The beauty of the gospel is this, that in Christ we become the righteousness of God, and we are no longer then contaminated when we touch something that's unholy. We actually purify the things that we touch that are unholy. We can reach out and touch somebody. We can reach out just in the last week and a half. My friend over here, Caitlin, at the Taste of Tasmania, saw this lady, went over. She just prayed with her, and she was going through all this emotional. The kids had just left to go to Melbourne, all this sort of stuff. But she was just so touched by God's love and his presence. A friend of mine in America just last week pulled someone out of a wheelchair, and they were completely healed. It's incredible. God is moving, friends, family. That's why it's so important for us to be part of the solution of God's kingdom advancement in this place by partnering with the Holy Spirit and allowing his anointing to flow through us. Reach out and touch somebody. I'm just going to invite the band to come back up. And I'm going to invite each and every single person here to reach out their hands in faith. Because we're going to anoint the band first. And I need you guys to help me with that. So we've got this oil here. Actually, Leanne, can you come up with me? Jessica, feel free to play some spiritual keys. And everyone else, you can just sort of just receive. Let me encourage you. Joey, this is your moment. Don't stress about everything else. Just receive. Okay? But I need you guys to partner. Because we're family here. It's not all about the guy with the microphone being an eloquent preacher or the worship leader being the brilliant singer. And that is their gift to church. And then everyone else just rocks up, attends, entertained, leave. No. We are the body of Christ. We all have a part to play. Your faith can move mountains. People in the Derwent Valley, your faith can heal the sick, open the eyes of the blind, cast out devils, heal lepers, raise the dead. Our faith, when it's tethered to King Jesus, not just stirred up emotion, standing firmly on the promises of God, we can see God move mightily. Because it's not about us. It's just about us being available and humble enough to be obedient to the things that he's asked of us. So let's reach out our hands as we anoint all these guys. And if you're a praying person, let me encourage you, start praying. If you're not a praying person, listen to the person next to you and start to just go, okay, how could I do this? Because it's just communicating with God. Let's do this. Lord, we just thank you so much for Joey Morse. And in the Derwent Valley, you can start anointing people. You can start praying for people as well. Lord, we just thank you so much for Joey, for the call of God that is on his life. And we ask in your mighty name that he wouldn't operate under his own strength, but by your anointing, by the Spirit's leading, in Jesus' name. We thank you for Jessica. We thank you so much that she is your daughter whom you're well pleased with. And we ask in Jesus' mighty name that the Spirit of the Lord will be upon her to preach the good news of the gospel, that she is anointed to set captives free, to open the eyes of the blind, to bring healing to the brokenhearted, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, King Jesus. Thank you, King Jesus. Thank you, King Jesus. Thank you, King Jesus.